All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. And today we are diving into a case that really highlights just how crazy things can get in the world of secured transactions.
Yeah, definitely. And it's especially relevant for all of you future lawyers out there.
Yeah.
Because it involves cars. And I mean, who doesn't love a good car story?
Right, exactly. Because this isn't just some theoretical legal concept. This is something that could actually walk through the door of your, you know, future law office.
Oh, absolutely.
So imagine this, right? You're a, you know, freshly minted attorney. You've got your shingle up, and in walks a client who is just beside themselves because their car got repossessed.
Oh, man.
And they're like, but wait, I have the title. It's clean. I paid for this car. And it turns out there's this hidden this legal ghost in the machine.
Yeah, like a financial skeleton in the closet.
Exactly. And that's exactly what went down. In the case we're going to unpack today, it's called Metzger versus AmeriCredit Financial Services, a case that made its way to the Georgia Court of Appeals back in 2005.
So, you know, we're talking Georgia here, right? So that automatically tells us.
Buckle up, right?
You're going to be dealing with some interesting state-specific legal quirks.
Absolutely. And you know, this case is like a perfect storm. It's got consumer rights. It's got lender protections. It's got state lines. It's got those pesky human errors that always seem to find a way to muck things up.
Yep. All the ingredients for a fascinating legal drama.
Exactly. And that's why we're here to dissect it, to really understand how something as seemingly simple as a clerical error on a title transfer can turn into this huge legal headache.
A real domino effect.
So for this deep dive, we'll be focusing on the court's opinion. It's our primary source. It's like our legal treasure map, if you will.
Anyway.
It's got the facts, the issue, the relevant statutes, the court's reasoning, you know, the whole shebang.
Yeah, we'll be breaking it all down so you can really see how the sausage gets made, legally speaking.
Exactly, because our goal here is to equip you, our listeners, with the knowledge and the analytical tools you'll need to navigate these kinds of complex scenarios when you're out there practicing law.
So let's get this show on the road then. Where do we begin?
All right, so to set the stage, this story begins in New York. We've got a guy named James Strong who buys himself a Ford Taurus, a classic.
A solid car.
Right. To finance his purchase, he takes out a loan from AmeriCredit Financial Services. And as is standard procedure, they perfect their security interest in the vehicle right there in New York.
So they're basically saying, hey, this car is collateral for our loan just in case things go south.
Exactly. They're putting everyone on notice that they have a financial stake in that Ford Taurus. So far, so good, right? Everything's by the book.
Yeah, smooth sailing at this point.
Right. But then Mr. Strong decides to relocate to the Peach State, Georgia. And like any responsible car owner, he applies for a new Georgia title for his Tauruses.
Makes sense. You got to keep your paperwork in order.
Exactly. But here's where things take a turn for the unexpected.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Right. Somewhere in the labyrinthine depths of the Georgia Department of Driver Services, the DMV, a critical error occurs.
Oh.
The new Georgia title they issue to Mr. Strong comes back clean. There's no mention of AmeriCredit's listing whatsoever. It's like it vanished into thin air.
Talk about a bureaucratic blunder.
Right. I mean, one little slip up and the whole system gets thrown out of whack.
And this is where the dominoes start to fall, because now you've got this Ford Taurus with a clean Georgia title making its way through the used car market in Georgia.
Exactly. And since the title looks totally legit, no one has any reason to suspect that there's this lurking lemon from another state.
It's like a legal time bomb just waiting to explode.
And explode it does, because eventually this Ford Taurus ends up in the hands of our main character, Teresa Metzger. She buys the car in 2002 from a used car dealership in Georgia.
And I'm assuming she gets that same clean Georgia title.
You bet she does. She pays for the car in full, thinking she's the rightful owner free and clear.
Not knowing that AmeriCredit is still out there holding onto this invisible chain attached to the car?
Exactly. She has no clue about this New York lemon. Why would she? I mean, the official Georgia title says the car is hers.
So fast forward a few months. It's October 2002. And imagine the shock Metzger must have felt when AmeriCredit suddenly repossesses her car.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a rude awakening. I mean, from her perspective, her car was stolen, plain and simple.
And that's exactly what she does. She reports it to the police as a theft.
Yeah.
She had no idea why this is happening.
It's only later that she starts digging and discovers AmeriCredit's claim and this whole messy history of the car's title.
So I bet she was fuming at this point.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? You think you own a car outright and then bam, it's taken away because of some legal technicality from another state.
Totally understandable why she'd be upset.
So Metzger decides to fight back. She sues AmeriCredit for conversion, which is essentially the legal term for wrongfully taking or using someone else's property.
Basically, she's saying, hey, you guys had no right to take my car.
Exactly. And at the trial court level, things don't go her way.
Oh, what happened?
The trial court actually rules in favor of AmeriCredit. Their reasoning was that because AmeriCredit had perfected their security interest in New York, that perfection should carry over to Georgia.
So the trial court's basically saying that the New York lemon still holds up, even though the car's in Georgia now.
Exactly. But Metzger's not giving up. She appeals the decision. And this is where things get really legally juicy, because the case lands in the Georgia Court of Appeals.
Okay, so now we're moving up the legal ladder. Let's see what happens.
Right. And the big question that the appellate court has to wrestle with is, this does a specific Georgia law known as OCGA Section 1193371 protect Metzger as a good faith purchaser, even though AmeriCredit had that perfected security interest from New York?
So it's a battle between this Georgia law that seems to be on Metzger's side and this general principle of security interest crossing state lines.
Exactly. It's like a legal tug of war. And the outcome hinges on how the court interprets this very specific Georgia statute.
All right. So let's dive into the weeds here. What exactly does this OCGA Section 1193371 say?
Well, basically, it lays out these six very specific conditions that, if met, allow a buyer to get a vehicle free and clear of any prior security interests.
So it's like a legal checklist for buyers to make sure they're protected?
Exactly. And it's all about protecting innocent consumers who are relying on the accuracy of official state documents like a car title.
Makes sense. You shouldn't have to be a legal expert to buy a used car.
Right. So let's go through these six conditions one by one and see how they stack up in Metzger's case.
All right. Checklist time.
So first off, the statute says there needs to be a Georgia certificate of title issued for the vehicle. And remember, Metzger did get a Georgia title, even though it was wrong.
Okay. Check mark number one.
Second, that title can't show the lien. And we know Metzger's title was clean as a whistle. No mention of AmeriCredit's lien.
Check mark number two.
Third, the buyer has to have paid something for the car. And of course, Metzger paid the used car dealership for the Taurus.
Check mark number three. She's three for three so far.
Fourth, the buyer has to have taken possession of the car after that clean title was issued, which is exactly what happened in this case.
Okay, another check mark. She's on a roll.
Fifth, and this is a big one, the buyer can't have any knowledge of the security interest, and there's no evidence that Metzger knew anything about AmeriCredit's lien.
That's a crucial point. If she knew about the lien, the whole argument falls apart.
Right. And finally, the sixth condition is that the buyer can't be in the business of selling cars. And Metzger was just a regular person buying a car for her own use.
So she checks all the boxes. It seems like this Georgia law was practically written for her situation.
Right. So you'd think she'd be in the clear. But remember, the trial court still ruled against her. So what gives?
Yeah, that's the head scratcher, isn't it?
Well, here's where the appellate court gets into some legal maneuvering. They acknowledge that under the general rules of Georgia's Uniform Commercial Code, a perfected security interest from another state like New York usually carries over to Georgia.
So that initial ruling from the trial court makes sense on the surface?
Exactly. But then the appellate court pulls out this key principle of legal interpretation. They say that when you have a general law and a more specific law that applies to the exact situation, the specific law usually wins.
So it's like a legal trump card. The more specific law takes precedence.
Right. And in this case, that specific law is OCGA Section 11-93371. It's laser focused on the scenario of a clean Georgia title being issued, even if it's due to an error.
So the court's saying this Georgia law is more relevant to Metzger's situation than the general rule about security interests crossing state lines.
Exactly. And they really hammer home the point that buyers should be able to rely on what the official state title says.
Right. I mean, it would be crazy to expect every used car buyer to do some nationwide lien search before they make a purchase.
Totally. And the court points out that if that were the case, it would be incredibly burdensome and impractical.
Yeah, it would basically grind the used car market to a halt.
Exactly. So because Metzger met all sort of those very specific requirements laid out in that Georgia law, the court says she essentially got the car free and clear of AmeriCredit's lien.
So even though AmeriCredit did everything right in New York, this Georgia law throws them a curveball.
Big time. And that's why the court ultimately finds that AmeriCredit's repossession of Metzger's car was a wrongful act of conversion. They took a car that legally belonged to her.
So it's a win for Metzger and a big lesson for lenders nationwide.
Absolutely, because this case shows just how important it is for lenders to make sure their liens are accurately recorded on titles, especially when vehicles cross state lines.
Yeah, you can't just assume that your lien will automatically follow the car everywhere it goes. You got to dot your I's and cross your T's.
Right, and if they don't, they risk losing their security interest to a good faith buyer like Metzger, who relies on a clean title.
So lenders take note, double check those titles.
Now, what about from the buyer's perspective? What can they take away from this case?
Well, for buyers, especially those of you about to enter the legal profession, this case highlights the importance of knowing the ins and outs of your state's laws.
Especially those laws that protect consumers.
Absolutely, because in Georgia, that specific statute, OCGA,
Right.
Section 11-93371, acts as a shield for buyers who purchase a car with a clean title from someone who's not in the business of selling cars.
But there's a catch, right?
There's always a catch. The buyer has to genuinely have no knowledge of any prior liens.
So while you might not need to hire a private investigator every time you buy a used car, it's still a good idea to do your due diligence.
Exactly. A little bit of caution can go a long way.
You know, even though the court sided with Metzger, I can't help but feel a bit for AmeriCredit. I mean, they followed all the rules in New York, they did everything by the book. It seems kind of unfair that they lose out because of a clerical error by the Georgia DMV.
That's a really good point. It raises this question of fairness in the legal system. Sometimes the outcome might be legally sound, but it still doesn't feel quite right.
Exactly. And the court's opinion doesn't really delve into whether AmeriCredit had any options for recourse, like maybe suing the state for that DMV error, or if their insurance might have covered something like this.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how that played out legally and ethically.
So to sum up our deep dive into Metzger versus AmeriCredit, we've seen how a seemingly small administrative mistake, a simple typo on a title, can set off this chain reaction of legal consequences.
It's a reminder that the law is full of these unexpected twists and turns.
Absolutely. And it underscores the importance of understanding how specific state laws, like that Georgia statute we talked about, can impact the rights of both lenders and buyers.
And for all you future lawyers out there, this case is a great example of how different parts of the law can clash and how courts try to make sense of those conflicts.
It also highlights the critical role that official documents like titles play in legal disputes and how important it is to make sure those documents are accurate.
You know, it makes you wonder how technology might change things in the future with interstate data sharing and all that.
Yeah.
Could we prevent these kind of title errors from happening in the first place?
That's a great question. I mean, imagine a system where titles are updated electronically across state lines, no more relying on paper and human error.
That would definitely streamline things and potentially avoid a lot of headaches.
Right. But for now, we still have to navigate the system we have. So understanding cases like Metzger versus AmeriCredit is crucial.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in digging deeper, there are other cases out there that deal with similar issues, like Henry McMullen, which explores the complexities of vehicle titles and security interests.
So keep learning, keep exploring, and keep asking those tough questions.
Because that's what makes a good lawyer.
All right, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a thought experiment. Let's rewind the clock. In Metzger's case, what if that title error had been caught and corrected just 1 week before she bought the car? Would the outcome have been different?
That's a tricky one.
Right. And who would have been responsible in that scenario? Would AmeriCredit have been able to assert their lien, or would the used car dealership be on the hook?
It really makes you think about the domino effect of these kinds of errors and how even a small change in timing can have huge legal implications.
Exactly. So as you continue your legal studies, keep those what-ifs in mind because they can lead to some fascinating insights.
And sometimes those what-ifs are the key to unlocking the most interesting legal arguments.
All right, folks, that's it for our deep dive into Metzger versus AmeriCredit. Thanks for joining us.
Until next time, stay curious and keep those legal minds sharp.